Welcome to Praise God. I'm Arrested and Free with your host, Julianne Harris, a show based on the Word of God and the promises of God's undying love for you. Now your host and the sheriff's daughter, Julianne Harris.
Hello and good morning. It is January the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2019. I'm Julianne Harris, and praise God, I'm arrested and free. I'm arrested by God's goodness, His grace, His love, and His mercy. And I've been set free from anxiety and fear and pain and discontentment and all the negative things that happens to us in life. I've been set free from. And I want to send a special thanks out to my dad in northeastern Montana, who is a sheriff. So yes, I am a sheriff's daughter. So I pray that you all are having a wonderful 2019 as we round into January. I know I certainly am. Life is busy, and busy is not really a word that I want to wear as a badge. I would rather be productive than busy, but I wonder sometimes if I'm just busy as I'm not feeling that productive. However, praise the Lord. He is there to walk us through if we take the time to acknowledge Him and ask Him to help us. Go ahead and send me a message on my Facebook page at Arrested and Free, or you can call or text me at 970-919-0459. So I want to recap what we've been talking about. You know, I've been talking about spirit, soul, and body, and how you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. We need to differentiate these things, folks. Otherwise, we will not understand what has happened in the new birth. We won't get it. And that was me for 20 some years. I didn't get what had happened to me at 8 years old when I became born again. Because when I got born again, my spirit was perfect. That was the new creation that it talks about in 2 Corinthians. It talks about how you are a new creation. All things are made new. All old things have passed away. All things are become new. That is in your spirit. But see, I walked away from that experience going, okay, I'm saved now and I'm born again. So I don't really know what that means. And then I got led into sin. And then that became my identity instead of understanding that I was right with God. Because the things that I would do these things and I would sin and I would think, am I born again? Like, how does this even work? I don't understand. So when you get born again, when you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you are saved. Now, most people will do that and then they'll walk away and live like the hellion that they've always been. And then they think, I don't know, did that even work? You know, am I saved? Yes, you are. And that is what I'm talking about with spirit, soul, and body. Because when you get born again, your spirit is made perfect. It is perfect. It is not going to need anything further for all eternity. It is the spirit that you will have for all eternity. Your soul, however, and your body, they are not born again. Things don't become new in your soul and in your body. You know, I shared with you last week about how there was an instantaneous change with my second ex-husband. And when he got born again, there was an automatic change in his soul and in his body. But it wasn't lasting change because we didn't understand that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in our body. Because the first thing you want to do is you want to walk away from your born again experience and you want to think that God is dealing with you based upon your actions. And that is not true. God deals with you based upon who Jesus is and what Jesus did for you and whether or not you believe on Jesus and accept His free gift of salvation, period. So when you walk away and you automatically want to say, well, God must not be happy with me because I'm still living like a crazy fool like I was before. and you think, well, God must not be happy with me. And what that does is, you know, and we've learned now for the last couple of months that law strengthens sin. And the minute you start basing your relationship with God on the fact of how you act and what you do and don't do, that is law. That is law, period. And when you base your relationship on law, it strengthens sin. It actually makes sin harder to get free from, even though you're free from sin once you're born again. So anyways, I want to keep moving on here. Spirit, soul, and body, you know, there's so many scriptures in the Word of God that talks about how perfect you are. And once again, that is in your spirit. You know, for instance, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it says, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Man, a lot of you are going to look in the mirror and go, what? As Jesus is, so am I in this world? I don't even understand that. Well, you are as Jesus is in this world, in your spirit. Now, you can look like Jesus, you can behave like Jesus, but you can only do that through acknowledging who he is on the inside of you. You'll never be able to do it on your own strength. You know, and that's what a lot of religion has done. It's man-made rules. Don't do this. Don't do that. You need to act like this way to people. And it puts all the pressure on you. But it isn't until in Philemon verse 6, it says that the communication of your faith may become effectual through the acknowledgement of every good thing in you in Christ Jesus. That's the only way you're ever going to reflect more of Jesus, reflect more of who you are in the Spirit. Because guess what? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and that's the first scripture I want to read to you today, is Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you're not born again, guess what? This, you can just pretty much write this off. You do not have the Spirit of Jesus, of Christ, living on the inside of you. If you have not accepted him as your Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead on the third day, you are none of his. And then verse 10, it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Remember, the whole thing that I'm going on right now was a teaching that I did called Road to Revelation of Righteousness. So we're going to be talking about this word a lot, of righteousness, but let me keep going. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Praise the Lord. That is good news, folks, because it means that the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, all dwells in your spirit. So as Jesus is, so are you in this world. Hallelujah. But here's the catch on this, folks. You will not experience it. You will not have power and authority over the negative things in your life. You won't be set free until you start acknowledging this, like I was talking about from Philemon, until you acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ Jesus. You know, there's a number of ways that you can look at this. You can look at your soul determines how much you reflect of the Spirit. So, you know, we could say that our soul is a mirror. Let's say that. And, you know, the mirror, your soul really naturally wants to reflect your body, you know, because we're so aware of what we can taste, smell, hear, see, and feel that is so real to us that is normally what we want to reflect. So when I say that, this is what I mean. So when somebody does something to you, I'll give you an example. So I was in Bible school, and when I was in Bible school, there was this gal that I knew, and we were both in choir together. And so we had choir practice every Wednesday after school. Well, on this particular Wednesday, we were doing what's called a prayer walk. So we walked around as students, and we would pray over prayer requests that people sent us. And so it was dirty and windy. And so, you know, you kind of felt icky after the whole morning of being out in the wind and the dirt and sitting around on the ground praying and walking around praying. And so it was right before choir practice, in walks this gal that I was talking about, that I'm telling you about, and she's like fresh as the morning dew, you know. And so it was obvious that she didn't come to the prayer walk. And so right off the bat, and you know, where I come from, my culture is teasing. Like, that's kind of how you know somebody likes you, is if they tease you. And so that's how I relate to people. So I instantly was like, oh my goodness, you skip school. How, I can't believe you skip school. Just teasing her, you know. And she was like, shh, you know, don't tell anybody, stop, you know. Well, I take for granted for the fact that I assume that everybody can take teasing. You know, I had three older brothers, and like I say, my culture that I come from is teasing. If you like somebody, you know somebody likes you as if they tease you. So that's how I view it. Not everybody views it that way. So go to the next day. We move forward to the next day, and we come out of this class, and Andrew Womack was teaching this class, and it was called How to Get Along with People. I kid you not. That is the class. And we're standing in line to the women's restroom. And who do I stand next to but this same gal, right? So we're standing there, really nothing to say because I didn't really know her that well. I mean, I sat next to her all my first year. So this was in my second year of Bible school. And so what do? I start teasing her about skipping school the day before, you know? And I'm like, man, I can't believe you. And, you know, just giving her grief. And she comes back to me and she's like, you have a beautiful singing voice. Have I told you that before? And I said, well, no. Wow. Thank you. You know? And she goes, she's like, but your talking voice. And then she did this shaking her head, you know, like, no, like, ew, I was so flabbergasted. And she's like, she says, I shouldn't say this. And I'm thinking, well, what is she going to say now if she thinks she shouldn't say whatever she's about to say? She's like, it's better now. She's like, but the whole first year of Bible school, I was like, she said, every time you would start talking, I would think, oh my God, she's talking again. And I stood there, folks. Now, she's kind of a petite thing. And I was thinking, I could knock her out because I'm not petite. I could pick her up and I could toss her across the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like, who says that? But more than that, it was like, ouch. And so this next stall was open. She was ahead of me in line. So I didn't say anything, obviously. And I just pointed to the stall, like, just leave already, you know, is what I was thinking. And then when I went to the stall, I was like, God, that really hurt. You know, but here is my point. I reflected the spirit. What my flesh wanted to do was hurt her. My flesh wanted to do some very bad physical things to her because she hurt my feelings. But see, in that moment, I shut my mouth. I reflected the spirit. And that's where I'm talking about. Our soul will reflect the spirit, or it will reflect your flesh. So what are you letting lead your mind? Because your mind is automatically going to want to go to your flesh. And if you're not able to hear the rest of this message, please give me a call or send me a text message at 970-919-0459. Or you can go to KRDO News Radio and you can click on radio, click on podcast, and you can find me there under Praise God, I'm Arrested and Free. So, you know, here's the scenario. When somebody does something harsh to you, I reflected the spirit. I really did. And then the first thing I did is I ran to God, because when I got into my own stall, I was like, God, that really hurt. That really hurt my feelings. Like, what was that about? You know, I was like, ouch. And, you know, we had just come out of the class, like I said, by Andrew talking about how to get along with people. And I thought, wow, that was really ironic, because that really did not go very well. And in his teaching, and it's amazing, he's like, when you have conflict with people, there can be four possibilities of why there's conflict. Number one, you're the problem. And most of us don't even want to think about that I'm the problem. No way. Or number two, it could just be they are the problem. They, for one reason or another, there's a problem there, and they are the problem, and that's why you're having conflict. Number three, it could be both of you. Maybe both you and them are in the wrong, and that's what's causing the conflict. Or number four, it could be a relationship that God just does not want to see go any further. So as I sat there, and praise God, I pay attention in school because as I was crying out to God going, ow, that really hurt my feelings. Like, what was that about? Then I started going through these four options. I'm like, am I the problem? And I'm like, man, I really don't think I deserved such an attack. But then I remembered I was teasing her the whole day before, and not to mention right before this all went down in line. So I was like, okay, I was the problem. I'm like, is she the problem? Yeah, that was really harsh what she said. That was not very nice. Or number three, are we both the problem? And so that's what I determined there in that bathroom stall, that we were both the problem. And I thought, you know what, God, I choose right now to not be offended. And so I chose at that moment to not be offended at her, because what good is it going to do? It's going to put a chip on my shoulder and all this stuff. Now, granted, it was a couple months before I like literally spoke out loud to her. I thought maybe I should just sing to her or something, or I'd just wave and smile when I would see her. I wasn't rude or anything, but it was, I really didn't want to use my talking voice when I would see her until I finally got over it. I got over myself, or I don't know what I got over. I just was like, I really don't want to talk because you don't like my talking voice. So praise God. You can reflect as much as of the spirit as you want to, or as much of the flesh as you want to. How do you know the difference between flesh and spirit? Well, it's pretty easy. If it's good, it's the spirit. If it's bad, now some of you may think, well, you know, popping her across the head probably would be a good thing. But no, that is not. That is not a good thing. So that would be your fleshly desires to hurt somebody physically in all circumstances. We've never been called to hurt somebody physically unless it's in self-defense. And we're talking real self-defense, not just because somebody insulted your talking voice. So praise God, your soul is the mirror. And guess what? You're not going to reflect who you are in the spirit, the perfectness, the righteousness, the awesomeness that is in your spirit. You'll never reflect it until you start meditating on it and knowing what is in your spirit. You know, it says in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 is where I want to drive home here. It says, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you need to be transformed by the word of God, by renewing your mind to who you are in the spirit. And until you do that, folks, you can be born again for 65 years and never live any different, never have any sign that you are a Christian. You could be arrested for being a Christian and not have enough evidence to convict you. And that can happen. And that happens a lot. Now, are you going to spend eternity in the presence of God? Absolutely. But you're going to be miserable until you get there. I'm telling you, you are going to have a roller coaster ride of wondering, why do I feel condemnation? Why do I react this way, God? Why can you just restrain me, God? No, that's not God. He's not going to physically restrain you. You need to acknowledge who you are in the spirit. And, you know, I plan on going a lot faster here, but I'm just going to continue to finish out this point, which is, you know, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it talks about if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know, walking in the spirit, what does that mean? I never understood that, because without understanding spirit, soul, and body, you will never understand what it means to walk in the spirit. When you mind the things of the spirit instead of minding the things of the flesh, that's how you walk in the spirit. That's how you go, you know, you may feel miserable and cranky and just ornery one day. But instead you go, I have all love and joy and peace in my spirit. And so I choose to be nice. I choose to walk in joy. I choose to be at peace. Mind, I speak to you and I just tell you, mind, to stop. And that is walking in the spirit, you guys. It's not something that's so super holy. It's what you're thinking on. You know, you can watch people start thinking on something negative. It's like a spiral down. And, you know, and that's where depression sets in, because you're thinking on these negative thoughts and you're minding the things of the flesh. You're walking after the flesh. And the next thing you know, you're going to start fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Lusts of the flesh include fornication and murders and all these kind of things. That comes from minding the things of the flesh, walking in the flesh instead of walking in who you are in the spirit. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You have to put it on. It isn't like it's just going to suddenly take over you. But how do you put on that new man that is created in righteousness and true holiness? by getting your mind to line up with the Word of God, by getting your mind to acknowledge who you are in the Spirit, and then your body automatically has to follow. So you know what? I'm coming to an end once again this week, and I have a question for you. My question for you today, what circumstance were you in? I want to hear a circumstance that you were in that you had a choice on whether or not you were going to do what your flesh wanted to do or you were going to stay at peace. So I want to hear about that story. It could be quite entertaining, but I would love to hear about it. So please send me a message or call me at 970-919-0459 or send me a message on my ministry website, which is juliesministry.org. That's juliesministry.org. And tell me about a time that you had the option on whether or not you could behave like a Christian or not. Hey, and maybe you weren't a Christian at that time. So I just want to hear about how you gave into your fleshly desire of not responding in the right way. I would love to hear that. And then I also want to leave you with a scripture today. And today's scripture I'm going to leave you with is Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, which says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That's an awesome scripture, folks, and you need to think about it. You need to think about the decisions that you make because they can make or break you. And a lot of times we don't have the option. You know, for instance, when she told me that she didn't like my talking voice, in that moment, it wasn't like I was thinking of Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 of, you know, I need to walk after the Spirit. No, because I had already been spending time in the Word, spending time getting to know who I am in the Spirit, that was an automatic response, was to just hold firm, hold tight, not do what my flesh wanted to do and hurt her. So now that I've given you this scripture, I want you to plant it in the soil of your heart this week. And how do you do that? You think on it, you meditate on it, you think about it. And I want you to do that all week long. And then I would love for you to let me know how that has impacted you this week, because I know it will. If you meditate on this, and meditating means just thinking on it constantly, it will change you. So I would love to hear about that. So praise God, I'm coming to an end, and I would love for you to tune in again next week on Saturday at 6 a.m. to KRDO News Radio at 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m., or 92.5 FM, and listen to me on Praise God, I'm Arrested and Free. And you all have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you next Saturday. Bye.
I know you are the reason why, the world's so beautiful.
The preceding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
You are the reason why the light shines all around.
Julianne Harris with Praise God, I'm Arrested and Free here on KRDO on Saturdays at 6 a.m. Did you know that you are probably believing a lie about yourself? You know, we believe lies about people, other people all the time, but I want you to know you are probably believing lies about yourself. Tune in this Saturday at 6 a.m. here on KRDO News Radio and find out what lies you're believing about yourself. Bye!